This is Moments of Hope, brought to you by the Missionary Church Association in Jamaica. I am your host, Marja Elaine Francis, welcoming you to the program. Good morning. We are in the seventh month of the year. Summer is in full swing, and I do say enjoy your summer and, of course, keep safe. Sometimes we go through joyous seasons, while some can be distressing. And like Jonah, we get to pray to God. Jonah, in chapter 2, he cried out to God, "In my distress, I called to you, Lord, and you answered me. From the deep in the realm of the dead, I called for help, and you listened to my cry. You hurled me into the depths, into the very heart of the seas, and the currents swirled about me. All your waves and breakers swept over me. I said, I have been banished from your sight, yet I will look again toward your holy temple." Whatever we encounter in this life, however difficult it may be, we can seek God for his divine intervention and transformation. My guest today is Sachelle All. She's a mom, author, and founder of Positioning Youth for Greatness. Today, we will focus on the power of a second chance as she shares her journey with us, how she managed to overcome the hurdles of life, and how God has transformed her life. Sachelle All, welcome.
Hi, Marjolaine. Thank you so much for having me. Hi, listeners. I hope you are encouraged from this interview today.
You are welcome, Sachelle. It's good to have you here with us this morning as you share your journey with the listeners. As we get into it, I'd love for you to share, who is Sachelle All? You know, where is she from? What does she like to do? What? Just tell us.
Okay, so I am a very vivacious person, very blunt, very bold. Kind of the life of the party sometimes. I like to sleep. Where am I from? I grew up in Doheny Park. I went to George Headley Primary School. I moved on to attend Convent of Mercy Academy, Alpha. And also, yeah, what I do for fun. Well, in terms of hobbies, I like to read. So I read a lot.
Good. And do you want to share career with us?
As it relates to career, so it's funny because I always wanted to be a lawyer from I was in primary school. My goal was to become an attorney, and I studied law at university. I represented my school at the CCJ mooting competition that's in Trinidad. We went to the region's highest court, and I was senior counsel.
Wow.
And, I was an advocate. Yes, I was an I sat on a regional board. I was the only female on the executive for, it was called AXIL, Association for Legal Access to the Profession, to the legal profession, right? And I sat on that because one of the things that we did was to advocate for law students across the region because of the disparity and the inequity and the unfairness of, you know, just the admission into the university within the Caribbean as it relates to law students. So we advocated a lot for that. So I was very involved and yes, very, you know, wanted to go that route. And then the Lord rerouted me that, yo, this is not what I have for you. And so, yeah. I'm currently at the bank somewhere that I don't like. I always said that I never work at a bank. I remember selecting my electives in university. A part of it was banking and finance law, and I was like, nope, I'm not working at a bank, so I'm not going to do that elective. And look at me now, I'm working at a financial institution.
And you have been doing it quite well. But before you got to that journey of work and all of that, Sechelle, you became a mom at 15. What was your initial reaction and that of your family?
Getting pregnant at 15. Listen, I didn't know that I was pregnant. I wasn't expecting that I was pregnant because of the situation. So pregnancy was not a part of the play when I realized that I had missed my period. And so we were like, you know, I spoke to my guidance counselor at school about it, and he was like, okay, maybe it's a hormonal issue. It's not unusual for a woman to miss her period and all of that. But I just did not rule in pregnancy until my best friend at the time, Janelle, she lived a few blocks down from me. She came to me one day and she was like, Sechelle, you know that my neighbor said that you look pregnant. And I was like, whoa. So, you know, we had to try to get some pregnancy tests done. Yes. And at the time I was underage. So, you know, the age of consent is 16. And so below the age of consent, if you get pregnant or if you're having sex, it's classified as statutory. It would be classified as statutory rape because you're not old enough, according to the law, to give consent to have sex. And so buying a pregnancy test at the time was a little challenging. I couldn't go to the doctor either by myself. I had to have an adult present.
Yes.
And so I was really shocked, you know, when I found out, when we got hold of the pregnancy test, when we administered it the first time, my friend and I, we spoil it. And then got another one, managed to get our next one, and somebody, you know, assisted in administering it. And when I saw the plus sign come up on it, I was like, ooh, you know, I'm pregnant. And I was very shocked. I was like, what am I gonna do? And, you know, my family was very shocked as well, very disappointed. My father was extremely disappointed because, you know, I grew up with my dad, and so he was really disappointed as well. But I decided one night when I was just thinking about my life, when, you know, sometimes we said a day of reckoning, mm-hmm. and I was just thinking about my life, and I was like, what am I going to do? You know, abortion was on the table because I knew pretty early that I was pregnant. It was about a month in. And so, you know, that's based on, you know, that's a good time to have an abortion. And, you know, that was on the table. And, you know, I decided that I'm not going to do it. I said, you know, the Christian people, them said them something near a murder. And, you know, I always hear people say that sometimes when you do those things, it can prevent you from having a child in the future,
right,
as well. And so I was like, you know, I went against that, and I'm like, you know, I'm going to have this baby, whatever it is that I have to do, I'm just going to do it. And I made up my mind that, you know, irrespective of what people are going to say, irrespective of what happens to me, I'm going to have my baby. And so that was that.
And how did you cope on the journey to motherhood after that baby was born? What was it like for you being a child yourself?
Okay, so I don't know. I think, you know, looking back at the time, I wasn't saved. So looking back, I'm like, boy, God really gave me a spirit of determination and tenacity and resilience, because just going through the process is like I had no, it's almost like I was numb, because I'm like, you know, I have to go through this irrespective of whatever it is. And so, you know, I remember just being at the hospital, Jubilee Hospital, and being in pain, you know, being a child myself, as you said, and just being in pain. And, you know, you're in a room with other women, and all of us are we're crying at different points because of the pain. And the doctor came in. I remember that day like yesterday, and the doctor came in, the nurse. I remember there was a time I felt like I wanted to do number two. Like I felt like I wanted to do number two. And the doctor said, no, as much as possible, don't go to the bathroom. And I was like, but I feel like I want to do number two. And then I ate something before, and then I threw up, and then the pain started to get worse, and I started to cry out.
Oh,
and
no.
You know, that I was saying, nurse, I think this is unbearable. And you know, the induced labor. I don't know if that's induced labor, but they broke my water. I know that the doctor broke my water. It didn't break, you know, by itself. Yeah. And so I went in the room, and you know, the nurses and the doctors were very good to me. You know, I've heard stories, because you know, you're young and you go to Jubilee Hospital, sometimes I hear a story like, you know, they don't treat the young women well and whatever, but I didn't have that experience. And I remember just having to push, and you know, I had a natural birth, but it was very painful, and I got cut as well. You know, they had to, I remember the nurse said, boy, mommy, if you don't push, we're gonna have to cut you, so you need to push. And I was like, you know, I had to just push in the midst of everything. And after that was over, you know, I bled a lot. And I was like, whoa, this is just being a new mother. It was just a lot on my body, a lot on me. But I was just determined that I need to get my life back on track. I need to get this over with. And so, you know, just having just seen my daughter, I knew I was going to have a girl based on, you know, ultrasound. So I knew I was going to have a girl. So when I saw that, when she came out of me and I saw that the doctors held her up, I just looked to see if she had the 10 toes, the 10 fingers. She's normal. Okay, thank you, Lord. They slap her. She never cried. They slap her again. She cried. Thank you, Jesus. And I just looked to ensure that no switching don't want is my baby. I looked to see where they put her and all of that. So it was a good experience. And then after I came out, the theater, and they carried me in my room, my father, my stepmother came to look for me and stuff. And I left the next day. Yeah, I think it was the next day that I was discharged. So it was a pretty decent experience.
Okay, thank you so much for sharing that, Sachelle. I mean, being a child then, she says it was a pretty decent experience. My guest today is Sachelle All, a mom, author, and founder of Positioning Youth for Greatness. And we have been discussing the power of second chance. Sachelle shared with us her journey of becoming a teen mom and what that experience was like for her, being in the hospital, having given birth to her child. And now as an adult, a mom, author, doing so many different things, I am going to now ask her to share. Sachelle, you would have gone through that journey of being a teen mom. Now that you're an adult, having gone through those experiences, you know, at what point did you become saved? Did you have a relationship with God?
Okay, so as it relates to when did I got saved, it's funny because I remember while at the Women's Center, I started to get this desire, you know, I wanted to know Christ. You know, I'm looking back and, you know, just learning the scriptures now. And, the scripture says that no one comes to the Father except the Spirit pulls him. So I realized that it was, you know, God that was that desire that was brewing inside of me was actually the Holy Spirit pulling me. Yes. So I was having this desire to learn about Christ. And, you know, when I thought about it too, the counselor that was assigned to me at the Women's Center, Sasha Tucker, she was my counselor at the time, and she always would talk to me. She always would say, Sachelle, what would Jesus do? She always would talk to me about this Jesus man, right? And I was like, why this lady always talk to me about Jesus? She don't say, you know, one crisis. She doesn't say, I need to decide what I'm going to do, what's going to happen with my life. She keep talking to me about Jesus. So I think that also helped, yes, in terms of, you know, just planting that seed. As well as I remember one of my teachers, Mrs. Davis, she was a biology teacher at the Women's Center, and she was a believer. So she's always talking about God, and she was not that she was always talking about God either, just her persona and just how she, you know, just how she was. It was just, you know, I really liked her. And then it was funny, you know, after you have a child, after having a child, you know, traditionally we want to go and get the child christened. And so I wasn't going to a church, so I needed to just hop into a church. So I was like, you know, I need to start going to a church so that I can get this baby christened. And so I started to visit a church that my sister and my brothers were going at the time. And I think God set me up because I got hooked. Because when I started going to the church, here is Mrs. Davis, who was my biology teacher at the Women's Center, attending that same church. And then, you know, I just started to get very interested. Like, the church was very open. I was a young mother. They were very welcoming. They were very open. I didn't feel judged. I didn't feel chastised. They were just so loving. They were so different. They were so, you know, they had a lot of activities for young people. And I just got very interested, and I wanted to know more about this God and about, you know, all of that. And I used to go to Sunday school. Daddy used to send us to church all the time. And so, you know, I just started to get very interested to the point where I started going to beginner's class. So I was, while I was doing CXC, I was going to church during the week as well to learn, you know, more about the Bible, more about God and stuff. And so I gave my life to Christ at 17. And I just got hooked.
Got hooked to the word of God, the Holy Spirit would have drawn you, having gone through your own experience, Sachelle, a teen mom, also gave your life to the Lord as a teenager, you know, and going through the whole journey. What are some key lessons that you have learned that you would want to share with some young persons that are listening this morning?
Okay, so key lessons. Do not give up on yourself. So even though you may have made some mistakes, you may have made some poor life choices, you may have done some things that you're not necessarily proud of, that may have shifted the trajectory of your life, that you thought, you know, you would have gone in a particular direction, but this happened, this tragedy happened, this crisis happened. Don't give up on yourself, because God has not given up on you. Two, get mentors. Not your friends, not your peers, get mentors. You know, the Bible talks about in the multitude of counsel, you know, it's very important that we have mentors. It's very important that we have godly mentors as well, because it's a kingdom program. We're kingdom people. So we need people who are of like mind, we're like-minded, and we also have the same values. So you can't be a believer, but your mentor is not a believer. The persons that you take counsel from, you know, someone talks to us about, you know, the people that we take counsel from and all of that. So that's very important as well. And three, never giving up on your relationship with God, irrespective of what happened. Never give up on your relationship with God. God says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Your mother and father may leave you, but I will never leave you nor forsake you. And if the creator of the universe says that, then it's something that we have to hold on to. So I would encourage those three things in particular. I would say to young people this morning,
stay connected to God, get godly mentors to guide and to encourage you. Sachelle, there's so much more that we can share, and I'm happy that I'll have you again next week. But as we close today, I want for you to share, you know, just what word of hope do you have for youths, you know, even those in church who may be feeling hopeless because of the mistakes that they have made. And some persons may have write them off and they figure that, boy, I can't make it. It's just too much. What would you say to those persons this morning?
Okay, what I will say is, I remember when I was written off, and I remember when I lost hope. I remember when I thought that God was done with me and the only thing that was left for me was just to die. So I started to live my life and to go hard and just the road, because I believe that God was done with me because the church had given up on me. And so what I would say, I remember the Lord gave me the scripture in Ezekiel chapter 16. And one of the things that happened in Ezekiel chapter 16 was, you know, the Lord said, I saw you in your blood. When they left you in your blood and you were there to die, I saw you and I came and I gave you life. I clean you up. And I want to leave, and that's a prophetic image, you know, and that was one of the scriptures that the Lord gave me. And I want to just use that as an encouragement today, this morning, to any young person or any person that's listening that feels like, I'm messy. I'm here to die. Like the only thing left is for me to just take my life. The only thing left is leave for to happen is just for me to die. But God says I can take you up out of that. I can clean you up and I can make you beautiful again. And so I just want to encourage, you know, those young persons listening, you're in the church and you're struggling. You're maybe struggling with your sexuality, you're struggling with just keeping pure, you're struggling. And God just wants us to know that, listen, when he gave the commission to Joshua, in Joshua 1, chapter 1, and God kept saying, be strong and very courageous, do not be dismayed. Well, you know, I got a revelation of that scripture very recently that it's not just about the giants that are external. Sometimes we have internal giants, like our flaws, our weaknesses, things that we struggle with, that God, I don't feel like I can go forward because I'm struggling with this. I don't want to mess up my life. I don't want to let down my pastor. I don't want to let down my parents. But God says, be strong and courageous because I am with you. So that means that God will help us in our weaknesses. He will help us in our struggles. He will help us with the things that we're struggling with. Once we apply the principle in verse 8, when it says, this book of the law shall continuously be in my mouth and I will meditate on it day and night. And that's the formula for success. And success is not, you know, having car, house and land. That's a part of it, you know, but success in the kingdom is doing what God has called us to do. And so, you know, God says success, if you want to make your life successful and you want to be prosperous, meditate on my word day and night. And that's how we live a successful Christian walk. Meditate on God's word day and night. So it becomes a part of us and it changes us. And so I will encourage you listening to me today, let's build our relationship with God through the word that gives us empowerment. And so that would be my, you know, encouragement this morning.
Thank you so much, Sechelle. There you have it. The power of a second chance. Sechelle started out as a young teen mom, but she was given a second chance through her relationship with God. You too can have a second chance. Sechelle, I'll ask you to say a word of prayer for those listening.
Sure, no problem. Let us pray. So, Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for this program. We thank you, Almighty God, for every person that is listening. And, Father, we just pray even now, wherever they are, in their living room, in their bathroom, in their cars, moving, Almighty God, we pray in the name of Jesus that it doesn't matter, oh God. Father, we pray, Almighty God, that you will ignite hope into the hearts of your people, Almighty God. Persons may be feeling, you know, daunted right now. They may be feeling discouraged. They may feel like I can't go on anymore. Father, we pray that you will ignite hope, that you will inspire them, Almighty God. You will encourage them by your spirit, Almighty God. Father, you said that is not by might, it is not by power, but it's by your spirit. And so, Father, we can't muster it up in within ourselves. We have to tap into your spirit. And so, Father, even now, every person that is listening, every person that is under my voice, I pray, Almighty God, that you will release power, that you will release grace, that you will release your anointing, that you will release your power to propel them forward into what you have called them to be. Father, I pray that you'll remove every spirit of suicide, every spirit that wants to tell them that, you know, I'm not good enough, I'm not worthy, I don't have a purpose. Father, help them to understand that they are not a biological accident and there's greatness on the inside of them because you've planted the seed of greatness within us. And because you are in us, Almighty God, and he who is in us is greater than he who is in the world. And so, Father, we bless you. We give you praise and we give you thanks. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
May I remind you, the Missionary Church Association in Jamaica brings Moments of Hope to you every Sunday at 7:30 a.m. Thanks to my guest, Sachelle All. Thanks to you, our listeners. If you need prayer counseling or further information, call the Missionary Church Association office at 924-1378 or WhatsApp 791-0527. Also, link us on Facebook at Moments of Hope MCAJ with your comments. I am Marja Elaine Francis. Regardless of what you encounter in life, there is hope and there is power in prayer. Hebrews 11 verse 6 reminds us that God rewards those who earnestly seek Him. I invite you to pray by yourself or join with a family member or a friend, and let us pray, being mindful that God answers prayer. Tune in again next week for another moment of hope.